Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic, I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for making us part of your regular routine. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King, here to talk about, among other things, Terry Rozier, a stunning admission from Terry Rozier, Paul Pierce and Ray Allen burying the hatchet, and urgent breaking conference shifting news, Tyler Zeller signing with the Brooklyn Nets. It's all brought to you by SeatGeek today. SeatGeek is the best way to buy and sell tickets. Do it in two clicks, and we'll get you a great deal for $20 off later on in the show. Let me just start, because we just went through this whole pre-show routine, and I didn't even bring up Tyler Zeller. But we have to start with Tyler Zeller, Jay. This could shake up the entire Eastern Conference.
but seriously, though, it's a good spot for Tyler Zeller. You know?
No, it is.
Totally. Brooklyn has no big men. No centers. Timofey Mozgov, who knows what he's going to be like after a rough, injury-prone season. And so it's a good spot for him to maybe get some playing time, maybe help the Nets not be awful. And I think Celtics fans would be very happy if the Nets are not entirely awful, because now Celtics fans are rooting against that pick. You know, they don't want Cleveland to get a top three pick. They don't want Cleveland to get Marvin Bagley, Michael Porter, Luka Doncic, or somebody like that. I think they'd be a lot more comfortable with the Kyrie trade if Brooklyn overperforms expectations. That pick lands somewhere in the latter half of the lottery. So every Celtics fan can be a Tyler Zeller fan this year. It works out well.
Finally, we can openly root and not hate on Tyler Zeller. You know, he's the type of guy, I think with more minutes in that situation, he'll actually be okay. He's never going to be more than an average player. People probably say he's a little bit below average, but I think he can be kind of an average player. And look, for Brooklyn, that'd be awesome. And that's just another guy on the Nets that can help them do something positive. And all we need is for them to not be like the bottom five. If they're somewhere in like the sixth, seventh, eighth worst team range, and that pick potentially falls to the back half of the top 10, I know I personally would feel a lot better about that trade. Can you imagine how horrible we would feel watching the Brooklyn Nets be not horrible or less horrible than we expected them to be? So I think it'd be great to kind of root for them. We can openly root for the Nets now, and hopefully they'll win, what, 30 games.
Yeah, that'd be nice for the Celtics fans. That'd be nice. And I do actually think Tyler Zeller helps the Nets, because their front court was super, super small. And Tyler Zeller's not great, but Tyler Zeller's serviceable. And he's NBA caliber. And NBA caliber is something that the Nets in the front court don't have a lot of. So, their backcourt isn't totally horrible, I don't think, with Jeremy Lin, D'Angelo Russell, and Allen Crabbe. But they needed some size, and so Tyler Zeller helps out. We'll see how it goes. But congrats to him, man.
It's been a while for him, and
this is like a few years after there was talk that maybe he'd sign an extension worth like $10 million per year over 4 years. You know, he signed the what essentially was a one-year deal at $8 million, and now he'll be playing on what I assume is a small money deal. So the center market has completely gone backwards in over the last few years, and he's been anti-beneficiary of that. So, but he's still in the league, still playing. Brooklyn Nets, shout out Tyler Zeller.
Yeah, hey, look, you know, 27 years old. You're right. The market for centers has cratered. The league changed on a dime. Last summer, Mozgov, his new teammate, cashed in really hard. And this year, there's just good players, or at least guys with a lot more potential, like Nerlens Noel. No offers, no crazy restricted free agent deals, no little extra money for a guy like Zeller who's serviceable. So interesting, but good for him. Guaranteed deal for this upcoming season, non-guaranteed for the following year. So just kind of see where he goes with this, and good for him. And hopefully the Nets aren't completely horrible.
I'm excited to see Tyler Zeller launching threes. The Nets, you know, they had Brook Lopez launching threes last year. I think we're in for the Tyler Zeller three-point bomber routine. And I'm all in for it, man. Zeller for the three-point contest.
Now, what if Tyler Zeller, three-point champion? That would be amazing.
He was always a decent mid-range shooter, you know, stepping back a little bit.
We've had this conversation. Like, 2 years ago, we had this conversation about Zeller. You're like, his range is right long enough where you think, all you got to do is take two steps backwards and shoot. But two steps backwards, that NBA three is a long way away. That thing is far. So two steps further back, that's still a long way. But that would be amazing. Now watch what happened. Watch Tyler Zeller beat the Celtics on a three-pointer now, one of these games this season. Can you imagine? Ball kicks around. Tyler Zeller in the corner for three. Bam! It's good.
No, Ojale is swatting that thing, man.
You know, if I knew what game that would be, I would open up the SeatGeek app and buy tickets to that game just for the possibility of Tyler Zeller taking a game-winning three. That would be amazing. If you do have the SeatGeek app, you know how easy it is to use. If you do not have the SeatGeek app, well, let me tell you, it is really easy. I've used it a few times, and like I've said before, one of my favorite things to do is when I go visit other cities, you just pop that thing open, and you can browse around because it's got tickets to everything. You don't know what concerts are going on, what shows are going on. Next thing you know, you say, oh, wow, there's a good deal for a ticket at this concert in this city. I'm going. Drop, you know, right on a dime. You just fly by the seat of your pants and use the SeatGeek app to do it. It is the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere in a couple of taps. I find the seats. It gives you saves you time and money because it does all of the work for you. It searches multiple ticket sites. It gets you the best deal. It gets you the most bang for your buck because it grades the ticket based on value, so you can immediately identify the best seats. And every purchase fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with complete confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket. Sports, comedy, theater, concerts, like I said, it's all on SeatGeek. And like I said at the top of the show, you get $20 back off your first SeatGeek purchase. It's very simple to do. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code LONBA. That's LONBA. You get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Do that today. All right, Paul Pierce made some news over the weekend, and this still continues to be one of the most divisive topics in Celtics fandom. Celtics versus Ray Allen. And Paul Pierce ran into Ray Allen in China and took a picture with him, posted on Instagram, and said, time to bury the hatchet. And I agree. I think it's way past due.
It's about freaking time.
Like, I know you and I are on the same page about this. There's so many people, and I get it. Like, so we're just not going to change everybody's mind. And there are people right now who are just saying, no, screw that. Never, 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 never forgive Ray Allen. I can't wrap my head around that. I think it's time to just move on, let it go. Ray Allen was one of the most important players in one of the most dominant runs in Celtics history. They won a title, and if it wasn't for a couple of injuries, you could easily make the case that they would have won two more. And Ray Allen was a key, one of the keys for that. One of the new big three. So let's just, it's so much easier to appreciate what that was if you could just let that hate go.
Yeah, all these people who are still mad at Ray Allen, what do you like in your personal lives? Like, do you still hold grudges against, like, the kid who said something demeaning to you in, like, third grade? Who called you names in third grade? Do you still, you know, go the other way when you see, like, a mean high school teacher of yours on the street? Like, you guys need to chill out. This is a guy who made a free agent decision, and I understand why his teammates were mad. I understand why all those guys were upset. But it is now 5 years after Ray Allen decided to sign with the Miami Heat, which is crazy. It's only 5 years ago. That seems like lifetimes ago in NBA.
Doesn't it, though? Ages. Doesn't it?
Lifetimes ago. But he left, and it's time to make peace. It's time for the big three Celtics to allow themselves to appreciate everything they did. And they won't be able to appreciate all of it unless they let Ray Allen back into their circle. And I understand he's rubbed people the wrong way. And I understand that there are a lot of people, including Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Rajon Rondo, who wished Ray had gone out of his way to apologize or try to reach out to them earlier than he did. Who cares, man? It's time to, especially now, the 10-year anniversary is coming up. Paul Pierce's retirement ceremony is coming up. Now's the time, like Paul Pierce said, to bury the hatchet. It's time to let it go. And if you saw those guys, the other guys, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rajon Rondo, Kendrick Perkins on TNT this past year, you saw like they left it open. The door open to allow Ray Allen back in. And they all sounded like they appreciated still the bond that they had together. And they were just waiting for kind of that moment to happen when they finally were able to mend that relationship. And it seems like Paul Pierce and Ray Allen being part of some celebrity basketball game in China might have done the trick. I would want to be there when Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen have their first conversation after 5 years of not speaking to each other. That would be just magical. Give me all of that. Please televise that. Have it be on TNT. Put that on KG Area 21. Please, God, just give me that. And that would be amazing TV. But otherwise, just, yeah, it's long past time. Big Three Celtics were awesome. And it's time for them to just appreciate the whole thing, and you don't have to hold that grudge forever. You can opt for peace and opt for love.
Peace and love, Jay King. That's just your motto.
Yeah, that's definitely my motto.
As I wrote on Red's Army Sunday morning, which I know not everybody reads redsarmy.com, but I wrote extensively about this particular topic, and one of the things that I want people to kind of look back at the Ray Allen situation is through the lens of Isaiah Thomas being traded, and understand that Isaiah was at the height of his popularity. Everybody loved Isaiah Thomas. The trade came so out of the blue, so randomly. The timing was insane. The team with which they traded was insane. Like, none of that made any sense. But Danny Ainge saw an opportunity that he thought would make the team better, and he did it without really caring about what the popularity level was or anything. So Isaiah's gone. Now, go back to Ray Allen. Ray Allen was told he was being traded to Milwaukee, and then that fell apart. He was constantly in rumors. And when he decided he didn't want to be here anymore, he said, I'm out. I'm done. This relationship is over. I'm breaking up with you. And that was it. And Miami happened to have the spot. They happened to have the need. They had money. And, yeah, maybe there's some pettiness from Ray Allen to say, oh, yeah, now watch me go to your main competitor, and I'm going to stick it to you. Well, who hasn't done that? If you've gotten fired from a job, wouldn't you want to go to another person? Or if you've gotten threatened to be fired from a job, wouldn't you want to go to another team, another job, and stick it to your former employer? That's a perfectly normal reaction to me. But the whole point is, people get on Ray Allen for this lack of loyalty. Like, he turned his back on everybody, and he could have handled the situation a little bit differently, but A, he's a free agent. This was his choice. Free agents are free to make the choice, whatever choice they want. I've said that a million times. B, Danny Ainge had been shopping him, had made a deal that fell apart at the last second, and he was constantly in rumors. So he just decided, I'm out. And I don't blame him necessarily for leaving. I don't blame him for taking a spot wherever Miami – a chief rival. I don't really blame him for that. None of that really gets to me. I would have preferred it not happen, but to me, none of this is worthy of holding a grudge for this long. People still grip this grudge like they're holding on to it for dear life. I don't get it. And I'm sure I'm not going to change a lot of minds with this, but I personally just don't understand. I don't get it.
What I liked about it, and I appreciate about it, and before I get to what I appreciate about it, let me just say this. I was surprised by how many fans still deeply cared about this and still have like deep thoughts and emotions, like hot emotions about Ray Allen's decision from 2012.
Right. Like today, like right now, people
yeah.
are still super emotional about it.
People are still like, God bless John Duke, but John Duke will never let Ray Allen back in. John Duke, the pod father, will never let Ray Allen back in. But what I appreciated about it was that it might have just been like the first time Paul Pierce and Ray Allen saw each other when they were both retired. And, you know, they just ran into each other in China. And decided, oh yeah, we actually like each other. Like, we were teammates for a long time. We accomplished a lot. We won a championship. As KG once said, the championship is forever. And, you know, we'd both be a lot better off if we just let that whole crap go and just let it float behind us and move forward. So I appreciated that it seemed like the first time that they've actually run into each other. And that's all it took. Like, as soon as they actually saw each other, they were like, yeah, this whole shit is just stupid. What have we been doing for the last 5 years just being being mad at each other? Like, there is absolutely no point for all that hostility. Let's just be brothers again.
The NBA is just super petty. Like, the pettiness is off the charts on a regular basis between the Twitter beefs and, you know, social media, you know, left and right, little comments, sniping. Just the NBA is just, a fertile ground for pettiness.
I've been worried about that for the Celtics, though. I don't know if they're going to be super petty anymore. Like, Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder were the kings of pettiness. I don't know if the Celtics are going to have grudges against every team anymore. I don't know if they're going to talk shit about like random guys like Dennis Schroeder anymore. I don't know if every game against the Wizards will turn into a bloodbath anymore. I'm deeply worried about this. This is something that is distressing. It really is. I need Kyrie Irving to just turn heel. I need Gordon Hayward to just become the bad boy of the Eastern Conference. I need Al Horford to just decide he's going to talk shit to everybody.
Good luck.
But seriously, though, like they just don't have that anymore. And Marcus Smart is always good to rub a few people the wrong way. And yeah. Marcus Morris is a Morris twin. God knows he'll get in some spats this year. But I don't think there's that same level of pettiness in the Celtics locker room anymore. It's kind of worrisome. I'm going to miss the stupid drama and the hilarious drama that the Celtics always brought last season. It's a tough loss for the Celtics media and the Celtics fans. It's just not going to be the same without Jay Crowder posting on Instagram about Devin Booker and Jay Crowder getting mad about fans cheering for guys like Gordon Hayward. I'm not going to know what to do without it.
Yeah, Jay Crowder is really good for that. I mean, just really, really good for that. He just takes umbrage with so many random little things. It's amazing how Instagram comments have become like the spot for these little sniping wars. It's not as much on Twitter. It's moved a lot to Instagram comments. So it's really funny. It is really funny. I don't know. It's going to have to be up to Marcus Smart, but he's not a big social media guy.
Marcus Morris is going to be the one. It's got
to
be Marcus Morris.
Yeah, he's going to have to pick up. It's going to be Morris on the Instagram that's going to have to pick up the slack, I guess. Unless some rookies, maybe the rookies will step up.
Nah, there's no way. I don't know. Jason Tatum is like just a sweet little kid.
He is. He's just like a charming little fella. Yeah. You know, always smiling.
Yeah.
He threw a heck of a first pitch. Well, you know, he threw a nice first pitch at Fenway Park, by the way. He's not going to be petty.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to start too many feuds. It's unfortunate. This team. Unfortunate.
Yeah. This goes back to the conversation about what this team is going to be personality wise. I don't know, but they're not going to be that ornery, just angry, out of nowhere team. We'll have to see.
Yeah, they might be a pleasant team. Who knows?
The polite Boston Celtics.
Yeah, like and the philosophizing. I think Kyrie and Jaylen Brown are going to do a lot of philosophizing together. Those are like Plato.
I want to get those two guys high and put them in a room. And just let them just pontificate for hours and just sit there and watch and listen. Like those two guys, you know, inebriated somehow, unlocking all of their philosophical thoughts. Holy shit. That'll be amazing. I would sell tickets to that.
Yeah, they're definitely like the Plato and Socrates of the Eastern Conference.
Oh, boy. This is going to be an interesting year. I want to remind people about some other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Before you lies a beautiful meadow. In that meadow, Progressive Direct has placed its auto insurance rates alongside those of competitors. You select the lowest rate and feel a great sense of calm. A great sense of.
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates so you can rest easy. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The fantasy show is just, first of all, killing it. Killing it. They just crossed 5 million listens. 5 million listens for Locked On Fantasy. If you are a fantasy basketball player and fantasy basketball has exploded, then you're going to have to check out the Locked On Fantasy podcast because they have gone team by team by team doing fantasy previews for all of the teams. And I'm going to hop on tomorrow with Josh Lloyd, and that Locked On Fantasy Celtics show is going to be coming up later in the week. But just team by team so you can hear the local podcasters, those of us who cover the teams on a regular basis, we are the experts in every city. So, you know, they just did Portland, they did Philadelphia, Memphis, all in the past few days.
if you want to take a listen and you want to maybe get some inside information on what people think guys are going to be, what guys are going to be having, like fantasy breakout years or whatever, check out that show. It's Locked On Fantasy. It's on Audio Boom, or search for it wherever you get your podcasts. One other thing.
Speaking of fantasy, my fantasy football team sucks right now. What? I'm playing against a goddamn Rams defense. They hung 28 on my ass. They had like four sacks, two forced fumbles, two fumble recoveries, two interceptions, two touchdowns, and a safety. What the hell? Get the hell out of here, Rams defense.
I don't even know. Were they supposed to be good? I mean, they're so far away from the NFL.
They're supposed to be fine, but that's just an outrageous game under any circumstances. And without that, if they just had a regular good game, I'd be in the lead right now. Instead, I need Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon to go wild. So bring it to me, Melvin.
I stopped with fantasy football a long time ago. I don't pay attention anymore. I have no idea. I really have no idea. Like I'll watch a Patriots game, but I'm not sitting there on Sundays like paying attention to football anymore. I've gotten away from it.
Yeah, that's a shame, man.
Yeah, you know, I got other things to pay attention to, like Terry Rozier and his interviews. Terry Rozier went on the Sports Hub, and very interesting comment. And kind of honest, and I might agree with him. Quote, I'm pretty sure we're going to probably have some rough patches at the beginning. It's common for a team that just got together, but I think we're going to be pretty good, and that's the goal. So I'm not really so much worried about comparing this year to last year. We're a heck of a team last year. I think we'll be pretty good this year. So the money line there is probably have some rough patches at the beginning. Which, look, they only bring back four guys from last year's team. One of them is Rozier, who didn't get a ton of minutes. Another is Jaylen Brown, who didn't get a ton of minutes, but did okay. And then Marcus Smart and Al Horford. Everybody else is new. So that combined with the Celtics' early schedule, which is very front-heavy because of that trip to London in January. They had to clear out a lot of days on the schedule to travel, get over there, do their promotional stuff, get back, adjust to the time change, and not put too much stress on their bodies. It's a big emphasis on the NBA, but the trade-off is the schedule is front-loaded. They got a bunch of tough games, a lot of games at the beginning of the season for a team that's just starting to get to know each other with a new point guard, new shooting guard, new everything, basically new everything. So I don't disagree with Terry Rozier. They're going to come out the gate a little bit slow, but then finish strong, I think, is how the season's going
to
go.
Yeah, and the reasons for optimism when it comes to fitting it all together are these. I think two things. Two of the stars that will be in the starting lineup, obviously, are super easy to play with, and that's Al Horford, and that's Gordon Hayward. Those are like, as far as stars go and great players, they're very much like complementary pieces. They can just, you can fit them in on any team and they can just do a bit of everything and really help everybody out. I think from the other standpoint, I think there's a possibility it takes Kyrie Irving a while to start to maximize not just himself but others in ways that he hasn't been relied upon to do in Cleveland. Now it's on him. The whole offense, or a lot of the offense, is on him. He has to make plays for everybody. He has to do things differently than he did in Cleveland. And I think that could take a while. And then the other thing is, a lot of the role players have different skill sets than the guys on the team last year. Whereas last year there was a lot of, you know, spot up shooting, whether it was Jay Crowder, who didn't like to create too much, or Avery Bradley, same thing. Now you got guys like Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, who kind of like to isolate and have a lot of skills in that sense, but maybe it won't be the easiest to fit in to the rest of the offense. And then defensively, you're fitting in new guys, you're fitting in young guys, you're fitting in small guys in the front court in a lot of ways. They still don't have much size. They still don't have much beef, even though obviously Aaron Baines is a big guy. Obviously, they could go out and with their 15th roster spot target another big guy, but you know, in a lot of ways, their defense is an unknown, and their offense is relying primarily or a lot on two stars who are brand new, and one of them, Kyrie Irving, who will kind of have to overhaul the way he plays a little bit. So we'll see. It's going to be on Brad Stevens to make this work quickly and get them out of the gates quickly, because not that there's like huge pressure to win a ton of games, but I think if they don't win too much, like you'll start to hear some grumblings from some of the media. Not me, because I kind of expect, like Terry Rozier, I kind of expect there to be growing pains. I think this team is so young and so unfamiliar with each other that it's going to be tough to fit it all together and to kind of come running out of the gates.
Yeah, I would caution people that if things don't go great at the beginning, that you shouldn't worry about it. But you know how it's going to go. They'll struggle a little bit, and people will be, oh my God, are there problems? What's going on? Can they fit together? Are they going to work together? Is something wrong? Just let it work. Just let it get together. Let them figure it out. The one thing we know Brad Stevens is really great at, and why so many guys have really played above their usual value, is that he does emphasize do what you do best. So Kyrie Irving scores, and maybe at the beginning of the season, he's going to just emphasize, just go score, go do what you do and score. And we'll, in film sessions and in practices or walkthroughs, give you other options to figure out this is what we would like you to do in other spots. But Kyrie is a scorer, and that's what Brad Stevens is going to want him to do. He's going to want him to score. So the rest will evolve, and I have a lot of confidence that things will open up for Kyrie, having looked at some of the possibilities. I do think that the passing will come along. One other aspect of this is, will Kyrie, in an effort to try to prove something to somebody right away, will he go out there and overpass? Will he come out and say, I'm going to so try to ingratiate myself with everybody that I'm not going to be taking 20, 25 shots. I'm going to pass the ball basically all the time and going to swing too far the other way and maybe throw some balls away.
I don't think people
are expecting him to shoot.
I don't think that's what Kyrie Irving does, man.
You know what I'm saying. Like,
if anything, I think Kyrie would come in and be like, well, I'm unfreed. I'm freed from LeBron James. Let's go out there and average 35 over the first 3 weeks of the season. I think you're more likely to see a super aggressive Kyrie Irving without LeBron James than a passive pass the ball type of guy. He's just always been a scorer from the time he walked onto this flat earth. He has always been a scorer, man. So I would be shocked if he goes the other way. And I wouldn't be totally stunned if all of our concerns about this team just go right out the window immediately and we see Kyrie in a new environment and he's amazing. Like, that wouldn't totally stun me. I just think the range of possibilities for this team is very wide. I think if everything clicks, it could be a great team. I think if some things go wrong and Kyrie doesn't evolve the way they hope and some of the young guys aren't as ready as the Celtics would like, then it could go a little sideways and they'll still be good. They'll be at least good. But I just think the range of possibilities for this team is wider than it was last season when there were a lot of new guys and a lot of continuity. And Al Horford was really the only major new piece to fit in. And he's like, Al Horford is the easiest star in the world to fit in. He's just going to help everything and make everybody's lives easier and not really demand the ball at all. So this year, very different fitting in so many new pieces, and only having four guys returning, only having 36% of the minutes coming back, minutes played coming back. So wild times, wild times. Brad Stevens got to make it work. This is a huge challenge for Brad. With the expectations and with all the new guys, you know, it's on Brad to make this work. And he's got a ton of talent up and down the roster, but he's got some challenges with this team. There aren't a ton of defenders. There's not a lot of rim protection. There's some guys, a lot of guys who like to have the ball in their hands. It's not an easy team for Brad to coach. He'll have fun coaching it, I think, because there is so much talent and there are a lot of possibilities as far as lineups go. But it won't be an easy team to coach.
No. I mean, very few teams are easy to coach.
This is true.
There's always something that's going on. Some challenge will present itself. So there are guys on this team that will make things easy. There are guys that'll make things tough. So, but like I said, look, I'm not going to sit here and just be blowing Brad Stevens the whole time, but he knows how to do it. Like he's really, really good at this, and he knows how to get the most out of guys. So he'll figure it out. And Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford, they'll all figure it out at some point. It's hard to imagine that it won't work. You know what I mean? Like you said, really the key here is Horford and Hayward being unselfish. That feeds in. You got Horford on the one end that's very unselfish. He doesn't care. He's averaging 14 points a game. He's happy to average 14 points a game. He's great averaging 14 points a game, even though idiots will sit there and be like, why isn't he averaging more than that? We pay him so much money. Like, that's his job. He's happy doing that job. Hayward's kind of in between where he can score, he can pass, he can do a little bit of everything. And then you've got Kyrie that's going to just dominate scoring-wise. Like, that's the thing that he does. So it's a pretty – the mixture is pretty good, and there's not really any overlap in position. You know, you've got a big, you got a wing, you got a ball handler. So you're not fighting people. It's not like you're fighting to add, like if they added Paul George instead of Kyrie Irving, then it's like, well, you've got a guy. Is he going to play power forward? Is he going to play the three? And then you're going to put Hayward at the two, you're going to kind of play guys out of position. Like, how's it going to work? You've got very defined roles. And much like we were talking about the old big three, you had very defined roles with those guys. So when you have that, it tends to work out a little bit better because everybody's going to be asked to do different things. And so no one's going to be stepping on each other's roles. It's really, like you said, it's going to be the other guys that can Jaylen Brown be a starting two. Or what can Jason Tatum do? What's Marcus Morris going to do? How are we going to work in? Is Aaron Baines going to start? Is he not? Stuff like that. What's Terry Rozier's role going to be? Is he going to be happy fluctuating minutes? Is Marcus Smart going to be able to step up and, you know, improve his shooting at all? It's those other questions that are really going to be the thing that swing the Celtics from 51, 52 wins to 56, 57 wins.
Ooh, 51 to 57.
Well, you know, I mean, you get a couple of things that go wrong, you get to the lower end. If you get a couple of things that go right, you get to the higher end.
Question.
Yeah.
What happens to this team if Al Horford gets injured?
Man, that's tough. I will say that he's probably the most important guy on this team. And so if he gets hurt, then we've got problems. I think we've got problems. And look, it's the problem is that he just opens things up for everybody. He literally makes everybody better on the floor. So Kyrie will still be Kyrie. Gordon Hayward will be able to get his, but it's the other guys that are really going to suffer, I think, because you're just not going to have that same level of attention. You can help off of the other guys who are going to fill in. Aaron Baines is not going to be a pick and pop guy. Morris can be a pick and pop guy, but that's not necessarily his game. So if Al Horford goes down for a significant amount of time, that is going to, I think, really, really hurt the team. And I do not want to think or talk about this anymore.
I just don't think that they have
– too scary.
They just don't have a lot of depth up front. Like,
no, they don't.
Al Horford, he'll probably be your opening night starting center. Aaron Baines can play center, obviously, but is Yabusele going to be like the center? Is Ojale, who's like 6'6", going to play center? Is Marcus Morris, who's played a lot of time at small forward lately, going to play center? Like, what's going to happen? I would be surprised for that reason if they don't add a center with their last roster spot. I think that makes the most sense of anything. It's their most obvious area of weakness, especially after trading Ante Zizic, who might have been available for a few minutes here or there. They just don't have a lot of size. But still. and, yeah, God, if Al Horford goes down, they're just a tiny, tiny basketball team.
I will say that, and this doesn't help the size much, but I wouldn't be shocked if they leaned on Theis a little bit in a situation like that. I wouldn't be surprised. We're not talking about him at all, but he's a guy with pretty good performances in the Euro League, in Eurobasket. He's got a professional background. He's a rookie, but he comes from a professional background, as opposed to Ojale, who is coming out of college. Yabusele is a little bit different. He had that year overseas, and he's had professional experience too. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we get more Theis than we expected.
Ooh,
especially if
a lot of Theis goes down. Theis is nice.
It's enticing.
Oh God, we're gonna be bad.
That was bad.
We're gonna be bad.
That was a terrible one. That's probably the place where we should end this podcast.
Yeah.
You can find us, by the way, that bad pun included, on Spotify. If you are a Spotify user, you listen to music on, you subscribe to Spotify. You can find us on Spotify. So if you're going, we keep asking you to subscribe. You can find us there in their podcast section. So search for Locked On Celtics in their podcast section. I will say this about Spotify. They are very selective. You can't find every podcast on Spotify. They have to approve you. They are selective, and we are on there. So that's how you know we're on that upward trajectory. That high upside, we're there. So if you're a Spotify user, just get everything in one place, your music, your podcast, search for us there. Another cool thing, if you have that smart home technology, the Alexa, the Google Home, you can, when you just walk through the door, just say, hey, Alexa, play the next Locked On Celtics, and it will be played for you. It's that we are just everywhere, ubiquitous. Check us out.
We are ubiquitous, man.
That's right. If you are not a subscriber, please do subscribe. If you are, rate us 5 stars wherever you get the podcast. Leave a little review telling people how awesome we are so they know that they should be subscribing. That boosts our profile. That lets everybody know, puts us up higher in the rankings. And I mentioned that Locked On Fantasy has like 5 million all-time listens. We're approaching 2 million. So we are on the same pace. This is going to be episode 307, 307 shows that we've done. And we are closing in. We're going to cross 2 million, I think, soon, like maybe in the next week or two. So that's an amazing milestone. Thanks, everybody, for listening there. Thanks to SeatGeek. Be sure to download the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code LONBA to get $20 off your SeatGeek, your first SeatGeek purchase. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.